lower your expectations, and put on your comfy pants. You know the ones I'm talking about. It's time for the Mediocrities Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Mediocrities Podcast, the only podcast that lets you crawl inside someone's mind, have a look around, see what makes him tick, and maybe find something in common. I'm your host, Mediocrities. I'm glad to have you with me. Something new. A few days ago, I got a lot of impressions on Twitter for a comment that I made on Simone Biles. And before you get weirded out, let me just say that Simone Biles is probably the most badass competitor that I'm watching these days in sports. She is so clutch. And what amazes me the most about this, besides the fact that she's Catholic, which is awesome, is that when you watch a top athlete perform, you cannot help but be in awe. Pick a sport, find the top athlete, and just watch them. They make all the complex things that they do look easy. It's the reason why you can watch something and then say, oh, I could do that, until you try it and you realize how hard it is to do what they are doing. But they make it look easy. And you can read, you know, I've got a book called Rise of Superman, and it talks about top athletes when they get into the zone. If you hear people talking about the zone, and when they get into that, it's almost as though time slows down. Now, I can't tell you that I've ever been in a position where I've been in that much the zone where it seems like time slows down, except, and I'm not joking, when I do data analytics, I'm not joking. It seems like I get sucked into what I'm researching, what I'm analyzing, and I notice nothing else around me except the facts and the data that I'm studying. And that's the closest thing that I can come to. There is no athletic event where I've ever been that far in the zone where everything was in slow motion. But wow, to watch those clips and what they had done, it was like a vault that she did there on the floor. They slowed it down to like 1/16th time or something. And you're watching it in super slow-mo, and just everything you can see the concentration in the face, right? But just amazing, amazing. And so I defy you to find an athlete right now that is that much in the zone. And that just makes me so excited about the Olympics this year, because that's just one of our athletes, just one. If they are all that finely tuned, that finely prepared to compete, then we're going to do really good as a country. I'm just saying, USA, USA, USA. Real excited. So, yeah. And another thing that I was thinking about here in the something new, along those same lines, you know, athletes at this level, there's a reason why they have leaders. There's a reason why they have captains, because those captains, those leaders inspire the rest of the team to step up their game. When you look like the US gymnastics team, especially the women's gymnastics, we've been kicking the world's butt for a while. We're always in the hunt, right? And we bring home the gold. And that's not because every single person is the absolute best competitor. They challenge each other. When you compete at a high level, you challenge the rest of your team to be better. And that's why, you know, you're only as good as your training partner. That's definitely true in wrestling and probably any combat sport, but also the other sports as well, the lesser sports, let's just say the truth. But in all the other sports, you're only going to get as good as your top competition and your practice partners. You've got to fight, challenge yourself, compete against the top, the best. That's what makes you better. It raises and elevates your game. That's why I never understood in the 90s why Florida State got off for so many years in football, beating up Blind Sisters of the Poor every year, and then claiming that they were the national title because they went undefeated. Wow, you went undefeated by playing four, you know, pansy teams that couldn't beat their way out of a wet paper bag. That doesn't really make you a world beater. Yeah, Notre Dame did the same thing. Hey, when you're an independent school, at least they were back then, where you could pick your own games, yeah, so be it. But that's not showing you how tough they are. Anyway, we could talk about how bad Florida State football is some other time. Matter of fact, we'll maybe do a whole show on it. But right now, let's hear from a sponsor, and we'll get into the mind of mediocrities next. Now, it is time to journey inside the mind of mediocrities. It's not always pretty, but it is always real. So join me now, will you? Inside the mind of mediocrities. Okay, so the mind of mediocrities today. I got some feedback last week that, and thanks for your letters, by the way. If you want to reach out to me, either you can contact me on the Twitter, Mediocrities Pod, or you can reach out to me through the show notes. There's my email address. It is mediocritiespodcast@outlook.com. I would love to hear from you. And I appreciate the anonymous person that reached out to me and really kind of, I don't know if they meant it to be rude or anything. I'm taking it not rude, but I got some feedback I think that's benefited me. Here's their question. Why do people care what you have to say? And that's a good question. Why would anyone care what I have to say? You know, social media has given us this false sense of importance, right? We get likes, we get follows, we get retweets, we get, you know, comments, smiley face, thumbs up, lightning bolt. I don't know, you know, poop emoji, things that people, we take these feedbacks and we think that it makes us something or it makes us feel bad. But when it comes down to it, really, why would someone care what I have to say about something? What would make me an influencer? Why should they listen to me? And it kind of reminds me of episode 6 and what it means to actually be an influencer. But this helps me crystallize why I'm doing this show. I'm not an influencer. See, I'm not an expert. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I work for a living. I get up every day and I go to work and I do my job. I have bills. I have debts. I worry when I'm not supposed to. I don't care when I'm supposed to care. I struggle. I question. I have difficulty trusting people. I have 48 graduate credits that I can't do anything with because they're probably expired. I've got a religion degree. What do you do with a religion degree? So, you know, I'm a convert. I'm not even a cradle Catholic. Why should anyone believe me? Why should anyone listen to me? I'm just a guy. You know, in my religious conversion, I felt completely alone. I was a minister, a Protestant minister, and I loved my job. I loved doing that. I loved ministry, and I miss it, to be honest. You know, I'm doing this work and, you know, the more that I studied history, the more that I studied scripture, the more that I studied languages, the more that I studied theology and just the history of Christianity, the more that I found myself being drawn to the Catholic Church, not because it was the most glamorous, certainly not, but because it contained the fullness of truth. It was the original. It was the one entity to which God promised through Jesus. Jesus promised the gift of the Holy Spirit that would lead it into all truth. That early church, those first Christians had bishops. They had priests. They had the Blessed Sacrament, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which gives us the Eucharist. And my church didn't have any of those things. And I wondered why not. And I dare not tell anybody I was asking these questions. People lose their jobs over things like this. I had a family to raise, a family to support, kids to feed, bills to pay. I felt so alone. And in the new internet, there was no one to talk to, no one that would listen to me. There was no instant messaging. You know, we had chat rooms, we had forums. In fact, it was in one forum in the Coming Home Network International, which I thank God every day for. In the Coming Home Network International, I found two people who said, "I know what you're doing. I understand where you are. And that was it. And I made a promise to myself that if I ever got in a position where I was comfortable, you know, and understood more about how I got where I am and things like that, that I would be that someone for someone else. And so maybe you're not a Protestant minister considering the Catholic faith. Maybe you are, but maybe you're experiencing some other kind of struggle and you feel alone. I'm telling you, the reason why I created this podcast was to let you know that you are not alone. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to, you know, have scads of degrees to get where you need to go. But if you're struggling as a dad, as a wife, as a mom, as a dad, as a husband, as a wife, as a sister, as a brother, as a child, as a student, as a worker, as a minister, you are not alone. We're a lot more alike than we care to admit sometimes, right? You know, in my trials and my sufferings, I have felt very alone. And I think people suffer silently, just waiting for someone to say, "Hey, can I help you?" Or, "Hey, I'm here for you." And it sounds superficial for me to offer this on the podcast because I'm just a voice in your head. But I'm telling you that you're not alone. There is help. If you need therapy, there are certainly good therapists out there. If you have questions and I can help, I would love to help. And I mean that. And I think those of you who have taken the opportunity to reach out to me have found that I'm good to my word. And I'll be honest, if I don't know the answer to something, I'm not going to give you bullcrap. I'll tell you I don't know, but I'm willing to either try to connect to someone who I think might know the answer to help, you know, we can start looking together. This is an outlet for me to just to be that voice that I never had. So if I can do that for you, then I feel like I've accomplished something. So anyway, you know, in my trials, my sufferings, I felt alone. I felt ignored. I felt neglected. I felt abandoned, helpless, hopeless. And there are days, even after becoming Catholic, look, when you suddenly find the answers to the questions of life that you've been asking yourself for years and years and years, and you think you've arrived, and then you realize, man, these people are just as broken as I was on the other side. It kind of sets you back a little bit, you know, to know that, hey, you know, I'm still tempted. You know, even though I'm receiving the sacraments, I still get tempted. In fact, I think I'm tempted more now than I was before I received the sacraments. I struggle, right? We all struggle. This is a universal thing. This is why God, in his ultimate wisdom and just being Jeopardy smart, gave us the sacrament of reconciliation. So yeah, I know. I know you're struggling. I know you're having a hard time. But I want to keep you with me, and here's why I've given you these sacraments. He's given us what we need, and he's also given us community. He's given us the opportunity to grow closer in our relationship and our knowledge and understanding of him, of life, of the human person. He's given us so many clues, even in the very way that our body works. I mean, it's fascinating. We'll talk about that some other night. But one of the things that I have found most encouraging in my times of great difficulty is through the stories of others. And that brings me right back to why I'm doing this. I kind of think if I can give you, the listener, a peek inside my brain, just a normal guy, a peek inside my brain, maybe there's something that you and I have in common. And maybe you realize you're not as alone as you thought you were. Maybe you realize you're not as abnormal as you thought you were, or as bad as you thought you were, or as good as you thought you were. Maybe you can find some camaraderie in me. Maybe you can find something in common with me. And if you can find something in common with me, you could probably find something in common with someone else if you take the time to listen to their story, maybe share your story. You know, we come from all walks of life, all perspectives, and we communicate through stories and sharing. Ask my kids. Dads love to tell stories. I love to tell old stories about sports. I love to tell stories of my trials and tribulations and how I walked uphill in the snow both ways and held a baked potato in my hands to keep my hands from getting frostbit. You know, whatever it takes to make my point as a dad, right? But in telling these stories, I'm communicating life lessons to my children. And communicating these stories to coworkers, I'm looking for something that we have in common so that I can build relationships with and make friends at work, right? So don't be afraid to share your story. You never know what might strike a chord with somebody else, right? And, you know, if you like the things that you hear or you don't like the things that you hear, I'm asking you, reach out to me. I'm looking for the conversation, not to feed my ego. Most of the comments that I've been getting have been negative comments. That's fine. Really. That's fine, because that's something that I take personally, and that's not personally in a bad way, but I'm taking it to heart. I want to make this a podcast that's engaging, entertaining. You know, I want to make it fun. I want to have guests. I want to be a guest. I think that would be a blast. I haven't done that in a while, but just to share my life, not because I feel that I'm something special, but because I don't want somebody else to feel as alone as I felt those years ago. So there you have it. The secret origin stories of the Mediocrities podcast. Take it or leave it. That's the truth. This is my story. This is where I came from. This is how we arrived here at this moment with me talking to you inside your ears, whether you hear me through your car speakers or whether you hear me through some wireless earbuds or something, whatever mental implants, the matrix, I don't know. However you're listening to me, smoke signals. I'm glad that you're here. I hope that you will take the time to shoot me a message. If you're using the Anchor app, you know, you can leave me a voice message. So hey, go for it, right? I've only got a couple of those. I think most of my listeners, at least it looks like most of you are listening to me through Spotify, but I haven't heard, I've only heard from maybe three or four people from the Apple podcast. So if you're coming at me from Apple, please rate and review and subscribe. That's how I know that people are listening. That's how I know that, you know, the podcast is getting out there. And if you like it, if you say, man, listen to this guy, for whatever reason, you won't be able to listen. If you want to make fun of me, turn it into a drinking game. If you want to say, hey, this is someone that sounds a lot like you, then do it. Share the story. I would love to get to know you, and will welcome you every time, regardless of what you say. And lastly, I'll add this one more thing before we go to the something old. If you're spiritually inclined and you would like for me to pray for you, I'm happy to do that. And you don't have to tell me your name, right? And I certainly am not going to bring your prayer request on the show. I'm not going to do that to you. But if I can pray for you, if you say, hey, you know, I'm struggling with some stuff. I'm certainly not a therapist. But if I can pray for you, if I can, you know, just be another voice of encouragement to you, I will. I would be happy to do that. And I ask you also, if you're listening to me, you know, pray for me too. You know, I'm a dad, I'm a worker, I'm a husband. I need prayer all the time. So there you go. All right. Thanks. Let's hit one of these little sound buttons. Then we'll do something new. Oh, excuse me. Something old. Wow. okay, final segment, something old. And I hate to say it's old, but Jean-Claude Van Damme, he's not a young guy. Let me tell you something. If you were a child in the 80s or the 90s and you didn't watch at least one Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, shame on you. I mean, shame. You have missed some real gems. And let me tell you something. Anytime that I'm watching television, if Time Cop or Bloodsport are on, I will stop what I'm doing and watch it because I love those movies. I'm telling you, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I rented Bloodsport and watched it over and over again. And then come to find out that a lot of the stories about Frank Dukes, upon which this movie was based, were fabrications, that he lied. I mean, people lie. Can you imagine? But the movie is so good. Wow. I mean, yeah, the acting is not so great. Sorry, Jean-Claude, but the action is cool. It's a cool story. Yeah, I really like it. So, just real quick, top Jean-Claude Van Damme movies for me personally, definitely number one is Bloodsport. Number two, I'll just go ahead and say Kickboxer. I really like Kickboxer. It's close to Time Cop. Okay. So Kickboxer and Time Cop would be next there. And then Hard Target, just because of the mullet and he punches a snake. You have to watch these movies, in order to see these amazing things, catching fish with your hands, fighting people when you can't see, having sweet mullets, and always Jean-Claude Van Damme doing the splits and punching somebody square in the balls. And I'm telling you, so satisfying to watch those movies, because you know when he does the splits, you're like, why is he doing the splits? Oh, there it is. Bam! Enemy goes down, right? So, yeah, Jean-Claude Van Damme is the master of the splits. I'm just going to say, he's the master of the splits. In fact, if you have Prime, if you have Amazon Prime and you have the Prime Video, there is a series, they only made one season, which, please bring it back, Jean-Claude Van Johnson. Let me tell you something, right? And just as soon, don't leave this episode, but as soon as this episode is over, I want you to open up Prime Video and I want you to pull up Jean-Claude Van Johnson. This is probably one of the coolest things that I've seen a celebrity do. He's not afraid to poke a little fun at himself and to create this series where he shows us that Jean-Claude Van Damme is just a character that he plays and that he's really Jean-Claude Van Johnson and he's a spy. Please, please, please do yourself a favor and watch this. Now, I'm going to say, don't watch this with the kids. It is not appropriate for children, but you will enjoy it if you like Jean-Claude Van Damme. If you don't mind a little tongue in cheek, making fun of himself just a little bit, but also still showing why he is Jean-Claude Van Damme, Van Johnson. But you should watch it. I think you'll get a kick out of it. And the supporting cast is also, there's some really interesting actors, in this show. So you may want to check it out. Jean-Claude Van Johnson. Well, so I would like to hear from you. What do you think of JCVD? What do you think of him? Did you watch those movies in the 90s? Did you, you know, how does that compare, to, if you like Chuck Norris, and I adore Chuck Norris movies, Chuck Norris, whatever, Chuck Norris boxer shorts, Chuck Norris, commemorative socks. I love most things Chuck Norris, but I'm telling you, for movies, as far as movies go, don't take away my 90s movies of Jean-Claude Van Damme. Yeah, I've got to see him. I got to have him. In fact, after I finish wrapping this, I probably am going to watch a little bit of Bloodsport just because I can, just because of the miracle of technology. I don't have to go to the video store and rent the tape. So I hope that you're having a good day, whether it's good night, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you happen to find yourself right now. I hope that it's going well for you, and I look forward to seeing you next time on episode 8. Wow, we've done 7 episodes. Bye.